I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
Whoa.
And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option, and you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will say that.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I'm no longer on vacation, so the microphone should sound better. I'm
not in a car. To you. They didn't sound that bad, to be honest. I don't know the sticklers of our listeners, but if they've listened this entire time, that it really sounded, you know, the
That's
norm.
So good to hear. I wanted to tell a story that you told me to tell before I forget to tell it.
Yeah.
Because I haven't even told you. I just tweeted about it.
Yeah.
Because it was so
You kind
bizarre.
Of wasted that story on a tweet. No offense.
It was so bizarre. Josh and I were staying at this hotel in Seattle, and we were leaving the hotel. It's this old hotel. I'd never heard of it. We got it on Hotel Tonight. This is not an ad. But apparently,
it
like when
be,
we,
though.
But when we told it could be.
I mean, it's. I mean, not saying to the listener it could be. Oh, like, we're tricking you. Like, hello, hotel tonight. It could be an ad.
But you know, it's one of those things where we talked. Where you know, his uncle was like, "Oh, where are you staying?" And we're like, "Oh, this place, like, Hotel Sorrento." And he was like, "Oh, that's an old hotel. That's a cool hotel. It's like been there forever." We didn't know. It was just cheap on Hotel Tonight. We tell his dad we're at Hotel Sorrento. Oh, that's such a cool that restaurant is like famous. That's in the basement of the of that hotel, whatever. So this history has been said to us multiple times. We're exiting this hotel and there is a car and someone's getting out of it and he's just like kind of standing and stretching and he just got out of the car and I like stopped and looked at him because I thought he was wearing like very, very comfortable looking clothes. He had on a very nice oversized sweater, like flowy, like billowy pants. They looked like they were linen, but honestly, who knows? They were some sort of blend, maybe a linen blend. And then he had on these sandals, and that was actually the first thing I saw, the sandals. They were sort of slides. I don't think they had heels. They were just slides, and they were like a knit slide. And I thought, ooh, I would love a pair of sandals like that. And then I looked up and realized it was Jeff Bridges. And then we walked by, and we just walked by him. Josh and his dad didn't notice anything. We got to the sidewalk and I was making a face and Josh was like, "What's happening? What are you looking at? What is this?" And I was just like, "Look back there." And then Josh looked and then he like stared for a few seconds, like many seconds. Stop it. The cats are fighting. Stop it. Not during the story. Not during my story.
They're really disrespectful of you. In
the Not story. During my story. So Josh looks at them and he's like, he takes a second and then he turned back and his eyes were like bulging and he was like, oh my God, is that Jeff Bridges? And I was like, yeah. And his dad is like, Jeff Bridges? That's Jeff Bridges? And he was like, people tell me I look like Jeff Bridges. I could be his doppelganger. Should I go tell him that? And I was like, oh my God. And he like went up to him and I thought he was going to say something, but he didn't. He just like got very close and started gawking. And then he came back and he was like, should I ask for a picture? And we were like, I mean, like, I'm not going to tell him what to do, but he didn't.
My parents.
It was just funny because it was like the one celebrity, one of a handful of celebrities that his dad would have been interested in seeing. And he just happened to be right there. Jeff Bridges.
It like was a total crowd pleaser for the people you were
everyone
with.
Loved
as opposed
it.
To if you had seen like, you know, Michelle Williams, the other one.
The other one.
Honestly,
like, I don't
Michelle
know.
Michelle Williams.
Even when you're saying the other one, I don't know which one you're referring
well,
to.
Well, you're like, that's Michelle Williams. And then Josh is that are like, which one? And or like, who? And you're like, the one of, like, Michelle Williams. Which one? Which one do you want it to be?
It's really funny that even the other Michelle Williams, neither of them is really all that far apart in terms of like level of celebrity. Really, like when you think about it.
No.
So it's like the other one could be anyone.
What do you mean? They are very far apart in terms of celebrity.
For this podcast purposes, I think no. I think for this podcast purposes specifically, it's confusing when you say the other one.
Oh, I mean, for this podcast, we could be bringing up either with ease.
Yes, that's what I mean.
But if you said Michelle Williams to someone, depending on the context, it would most likely be the blonde one.
The blonde one, yes. The former girlfriend of Heath Ledger, yes.
Yikes, do not... How dare you categorize
the
her?
The star
in such a...
of Fosse Verdon.
Thank you.
Is that
you.
Better? Is that better?
Have you seen the clip where
no.
She...
But go on. Fosse Verdon was one of those shows every time someone will be like, it's actually really good. I was like, I don't care what you tell me about Fosse Verdon. I will
know.
Never watch Fosse Verdon.
I watched one episode and I was like, oh. And I never watched it again. But like
people kept being
exactly...
like, this set design's really good. It's like, that's what you want me to watch Fosse Verdon for? The set design? I saw them some tweet that was like, everything in every set is like meticulously chosen. And I was like, I don't care. What is this show? Who is Verdon?
You can't stop. That's Michelle Williams.
I know, but I barely knew who Fosse
was.
Well,
you would know if you watched the show, but I guess you're not going to watch it, so you'll never know.
That's fine. Anyway, go on. What is this clip?
Oh, no, it's not even worth discussing if you haven't seen
it. Is
it
Michelle Williams getting frazzled over something? Because I feel like that's a pretty common Michelle
But it's
Williams.
Like Michelle Williams receiving a slap as Vernon, and it's like a very dramatic, like, it's just, it's great. It's whatever. Look it up. Look it up.
Fosse Verdon slap?
Don't look it up now. I meant like in
tempers
general.
Tempers are flaring. It just says tempers are flaring.
Do you know, I could have said no. When Hal wanted you for damn Yankees.
I'm sorry, and this is what no Michelle Williams is doing in Fosse Verdon?
Yeah, she's doing her Marilyn Monroe thing, but like up times a million.
Failed, bald dancer. A wannabe Fred Astaire. But I picked you up on my back.
Wait, is this the clip, or are you just watching
this? This is
clip?
Not. There's no slap. Speaking of slap, I'd rather watch The Slap than Fosse Verdon.
Oh, the slap ruled. That's not even like that's not
slap.
Even like a thing to say. It's like I would watch The Slap over many TV shows.
Michelle Williams is doing that thing where her neck muscles are tense the entire time she's delivering a line.
Well, she's also doing like that accent of like old timey,
that
but it's
mid-Atlantic
just, like,
thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
Wait, speaking of Fosse Verdon, are you gonna watch? Are you gonna watch Reese Witherspoon as Judy Garland? Because you know it's gonna be like the same performance.
Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yes, I am. Though, yes, I am.
Would I say Reese Witherspoon?
You
oh, that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Liza Minnelli would firebomb the set if Reese Witherspoon were Judy Garland.
No, it's Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland. The trailers make it look like it could be really, really good, or like it should be airing on Lifetime. It does. You can't tell. It's like the thinnest line.
I feel like it's going to be airing on Lifetime.
Yikes. Okay.
Okay, we'll see. But will Renee win an Oscar? Maybe. I don't think it matters. that doesn't matter in that situation.
It might not. We forget Michelle Williams' very subtle performance as Marilyn Monroe.
That got an Oscar nomination.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Very subtle. Although, how can you really do a Marilyn Monroe?
She didn't do it subtly. That was what was so... She did... whatever. I mean...
That's what I'm saying. You can't really do a subtle Marilyn Monroe. So it's really not her fault, I guess.
No, you can't do a subtle Marilyn Monroe. Or else you're just doing anything.
As far as I know, you can't do a subtle Verdon. So...
Apparently, she's pulling from the same origin.
This is Who's There, the weekly call-in show where we answer your questions, comments, concerns. You call 619 who them. You leave messages. We listen to all of them. It's taking so long these days. Oh my God, there are so many calls. But we play some of them.
Listen to all of them.
Yeah, we play.
And boy, are there some calls this week.
My goodness. Here's one. Here we go.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. Medium time. So I just listened to the episode where you guys were talking about yesterday. And apparently, because you said something about the filmmakers, like, obviously being big Ed Sheeran fans, but apparently they actually wanted Chris Martin from Coldplay. Like, Danny Boyle has said that Ed Sheeran was not their first choice, but Chris Martin didn't want to do it, so they had to move on to Ed Sheeran, which is very funny that he still did it. But yeah, me and Grace, bye.
We specifically said we believe Richard Curtis. That makes sense that Richard Curtis would be a big fan of Ed Sheeran, which it still does, but Chris Martin said no. That's hilarious.
Chris Martin said no. I wonder, like, what Chris Martin was like, you can use my music. And then they were like, no, we want you to be in the movie and, like, act. And Chris Martin's like, why would I do that? Smartly. Why would he do that? Why would anyone do that?
Apparently, Ed knew. I was reading this story about it. And Ed knew that they had asked Chris Martin first. And he said no. And so when Richard Curtis asked Ed, he was like, you'd be so good for this. You're our first choice. We can't think of anyone else. And Ed Sheeran says, wait, but you already asked Chris Martin. He tried to lie and it didn't work. So that's fun. I guess Ed Sheeran is fine.
But then Ed Sheeran was like, whatever. I don't give a shit. I'll do it. Like, I don't
you'll pay
care.
Me, you'll pay me how much? I'll get how much screen time?
But it does make more sense that, like, Chris Martin would be, like, the number one. Like, Coldplay would be the number one.
Yes.
Because it... They were. They are.
And that is a line in the movie. It's in the trailer, I think, where she's like, he sings Yesterday for the first time. And they're like, yeah. Oh my God, that's so beautiful.
Is that a Coldplay song?
And he's like, how do you not know who John Paul George Paul McCartney is? He's the greatest songwriter of all time. And then the woman goes, what are you talking about? It's not Coldplay. It doesn't Fix You.
No, they do not say Fix You.
Yeah, but as a joke, but I guess, whatever. No, it's great. Come on, Newsroom.
Fix You. Newsroom. Probably the most iconic cinematic pop song ever produced.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just Newsroom, but, you know.
Anything.
When I worked at Vulture, so many things. It's been in every single TV and movie. Like, you go to its Wikipedia and it's like the list of things it's been in is psychotic. We used to have this joke at Vulture when I worked there, which you would get Fix You Rolled, which is like Rick Rolled. It used to be, remember when Rick Rolled was
cool? Oh, I love
Rick
Rolls.
Just give me a second. But you would get Fix You Rolled, where you would find ways to send each other the link to Fix You. So it'd be like, oh hey, like, can you actually post this thing pretty quickly? And then you'd like link somebody a link that looked like something else, but it would be to Fix You. And this went on for like years. It's very funny, actually, at the time. I don't know if anyone else is finding it funny.
The OC, Without a Trace, Cold Case, yeah. Brothers and Sisters, World Trade Center, Yumi and Dupree.
Yeah.
Scrubs, The Newsroom, Cold Case, Pack to the Raptors, another episode of Brothers and Sisters.
I'm telling you, every...
Never mind the Buzzcocks.
Fix You might have been like the number one song used in TV for that year. I mean, I cannot think of another song.
In the movie Yesterday, a character says the Beatles song Yesterday isn't quite as good as Coldplay's Fix You. What a fun sentence for a Wikipedia.
It's also just, I mean, I haven't seen Yesterday, but I probably will eventually.
It's a great line.
Hilarious to me.
Remember, speaking of Fix You rolling, remember when I had New Shoes roll you? Have we ever talked about that on the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? Pablo Nutini?
When did we do that in our lives? Like, before the podcast?
Paolo Nutini. I think 2012 sounds right. 2011.
I put some new shoes on. And that's another song that is iconic for its movie usage.
Well, the only movie I can think of it being in is
the opening credits
Jane Austen
for
Book Club
any rom-com.
No. The only opening credits it's in, Lindsay, the Jane Austen Book Club is so good that you're misremembering.
No, that's
the
gotta
only
be used
opening
again.
Credits are the Jane Austen Book Club.
Hey, I put some new shoes on. But what's the other song that's always used in rom-coms that you love? there is another one. Like, I feel like there are a few songs that when you've mentioned, like, oh, this is just like a song that's used in many, many rom-coms. New Shoes is not it. It's a different song.
The one that's like the... You got me begging you for mercy. That one?
Duffy?
That's more trailers, though. Mercy.
That it's just, one? It's just great when you hear a song and you're like, God, when will this be used in its first, like, trailer? And it's like, yeah. A young woman looking for love. And it's like, you got me begging you for mercy.
I finally watched a trailer for that fucking movie. Leslie Runs a Marathon.
What?
Brittany Runs a Marathon. Have you seen this?
I never saw
it. Jillian Bell, that's her name?
No, I haven't seen it.
And it's about a girl running a marathon. Story, and she runs a marathon. And she's like, I need to get my life into order. And so she decides that she's going to run a marathon. And it's the New York City Marathon.
Yeah.
And the trailer, and halfway through the trailer, I watched this yesterday. Halfway through the trailer, had I been drinking something, I would have spit it out.
What happened?
The Bebe Rexha song. Last hurrah. The one that's like, this is my last hurrah.
No, like the song that's like just came out?
Yes. On the trailer for whatever. Brittany Runs a Marathon. Brittany
I'm
Runs.
I'm telling you, it's just...
You know what they should have used for Brittany Runs a Marathon? New Shoes.
Hey, I got some new shoes.
Hey.
God. Hey.
I
put some new shoes
on and suddenly... I just Googled Paolo Nutini to see what he's up to, and
what's
folks,
he up to?
He is up to something.
What is it?
He performed at the Transmit Festival in
that's a big
in,
one
in Glasgow.
Oh,
like yeah, last week one. Or a couple days ago. He donated £10,000 to a mental health charity.
Oh my God!
Blah blah blah. But he walked on stage wearing a Chewbacca mask.
Okay.
And it's Lewis Capaldi's Chewbacca mask. It was bought by Paolo Nutini. And he bought the mask as a charitable thing. It was like an auction. So
amazing.
He has this huge... So it's Paolo Nutini, and he's got a new mask on.
Incredible.
Hey.
Lewis Capaldi is someone else who people call about a lot, but we never talk
about.
Yeah,
we never talk
about
him.
Maybe one day.
Jabrat and Lisa Ray are biological sisters. Crunch, crunch. Yeah.
Oops. No, I mean, I was very close to having this information, but just didn't quite get to the right, like, clicky click. Like, I didn't, like, get there. You know, sometimes when you're, like...
Didn't get to the like, right clicky click.
I didn't get... We didn't get, like, there enough for me to see it. But, yeah, they share a father who actually has, like, a crazy kind of dark story around him in which he was murdered by his ex-girlfriend.
What?
You didn't know this because you didn't even know
no.
they were related. Yeah, so Lisa Ray and the Bratter sisters, which is funny because I was kind of like... They asked DeBrat about Lisa Ray because they're friends. It's like, no, they're fucking sisters. Like, that's why they asked them about. I don't know why.
Oh,
like,
my
whatever.
God.
So their father, David McCoy, was he lived in Chicago. He's a Chicago businessman, and he owned, like, a bunch of hotels and nightclubs and whatever. And he lent a lot of money out for people who want to start their businesses, like, kind of a thing. And he was murdered in 1988 by his girlfriend and her brother, which
oh
is
my
so
God.
Upsetting. So, where is it? His 32-year-old living girlfriend of 10 years, Sheila, and then her 20-year-old brother, Tyrone, were convicted of McCoy's murder in 1990. And so she's in jail. He got an 80-year sentence and he got a 60-year sentence. And the motives were they found out he was going to cut her out of his will. That's like obviously just a report, but that's supposedly
what
happened.
There's going to be plenty of that in this episode. Oh my God. That's awful.
I know. So I did not know whatever. That. Just very interesting. So there's like not even a little bit to that story. There's way more to that story of them being sisters.
Next call.
Hi. First time, long time. I'm calling from Australia and I do not have an Australian accent because I am from the U.S. like Terry Irwin, Bindi Irwin's mom. She is from Oregon and in the 90s went to Australia and met Steve Irwin. Bindi is a U.S. citizen as well, and hence why she was on the U.S. Dancing with the Stars. And the Irwin family is a much bigger deal in the U.S. than they are in Australia. So they're like Australian royalty for U.S. people, but the Australians aren't really, they don't really find them a big deal as we do in America. I should know that because I find that when I went to the zoo, it wasn't very exciting for many Australians, but there's tons of American tourists. So Bindi Irwin is also a U.S. citizen, and her accent does not sound, or her mom's accent does not sound like an Australian accent, which Bobby tried to do but did not do very well. All right, thanks. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
So many people called in and were like, Bobby, love your Australian accent, but actually you did not need to do it that time because Terry Irwin is not Australian.
Wow, so many people, so many people love my Australian accent. Wow.
Yeah, it's so funny how people called in like, please, Bobby, stop doing the Australian accent. You do not need to be doing that. So I found that very inspiring. Also, I found it really sweet that they met the same way that that the younger Irwin met her wakeboarder husband.
Yeah, it's nice. It's poetry.
It's poetry. And also that bit, I heard that a few times in calls that they're not as famous in Australia is so news to me. Mm-hmm. You guys appreciate your queen of animals, Bindi Irwin?
I thought for certain that she was, you know, practically Meghan Markle over there.
Yeah, we were not joking about that.
It's just because of people. It's all because of people. People.com.
Yeah.
They've convinced us. They brainwashed us.
It's crazy. Like, we think that Bindi Irwin is over in Australia just, like, fucking running the parade every day. I don't know what the parade is. I just assume there's a parade. Also, somebody did get mad at me when they called and they were like, how dare you say that Australia is paradise? I'm, like, in my car on the way to work. I was like, I'm sorry. Let me have my fantasies. I'll never get to Australia.
Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the Quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow, that's so nice to hear, because Quince offers free shipping and 365 day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
Oh yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to, washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not from Quince. Normally. And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/who.
Hi, Who Weekly. Medium time. I had to pause the episode because you were talking about the likely plea deal of Lori Loughlin. I am a prosecutor, and I prosecute white-collar crimes. Not these. I'm not the prosecutor on this case. But what probably happened is one of two things. Number one, she hated her initial plea deal. Maybe they were offering her, you know, double the jail time of Felicity Huffman, and she didn't think that was fair, even though, you know, her culpability seems like it might have been a little more. So she had her lawyers go in there and negotiate down, or maybe they filed some motions and lost those motions. And you know, that didn't go her way, so now she's looking to plead. Or like you said, she might have just had the fear of God put in her. She might have thought that, like, all of these celebrities were going to put up a united front, and now suddenly all of these dominoes are falling and everybody's pleading. So maybe she's like, well, you know what? If Felicity Huffman's going to jail, I'm going to jail. She has William H. Macy. I don't even have Jesse Katsopoulos anymore. So, just my thoughts on the issue. It could be something entirely different, but in my experience in a multi-defendant case like this, it usually has something to do with, you know, the bulk of the other defendants pleading and, you know, the one standout, like, we were going to do this together, right, guys? Right? Oh, we're not? Okay. And it's a little different here because, you know, lots of that Hallmark movie money, but just a thought. As to why she still lives in that attic, despite having 90s TV host money, I can't speak to. That has never made sense to me. It didn't make sense to me when I was 8 years old and watching Full House. All right. Thanks. Good form, Bella Thorne.
I love a lawyer has to address every issue. Such a lawyer thing.
I love when a lawyer says, multi-defendant case. I feel like I just like put on a suit and went, Your Honor, this multi-defendant case. And then nothing
You just
else.
Learned like a new word to use when you pretend like you're a lawyer. Thank you so much. That's amazing. It proves that Bobby and I are lawyers because we kind of knew why, what was going on. I love the idea that Lori was like, all of the everyone else is going to say not guilty, right? We're all not guilty. This isn't a crime. And everyone's like, it's a crime. It's a crime. It's a crime. It's a crime. We knew it was a crime when we did it. We knew it was a crime.
Felicity's in the middle of signing a piece of paper that just says it was a crime.
Felicity calls like Lori on like a super protected line. Like maybe it's like two walkie talkies that are then burned after use or something. And it's like Felicity's like, Lori, honey, it's a crime. And Lori's like, what?
She hangs up the phone and it goes, da, 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 da.
You're trying to do that music again that I couldn't find.
I'm going to add it today.
I couldn't find it. So best of luck.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. I need to know who this, like, gay country singer is who's always wearing a mask with, like, a syringy veil. So yes, any help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
What are you laughing at?
No, I laughed so hard when I first heard this call that, like, I had no idea who Orville Peck was, but I laughed so hard at the call that I immediately downloaded it and put it into the folder because I was like, we're going to talk about this person just because of he wears a mask with a pharyngeal veil. And then I Googled him and all it is photos of him wearing masks with pharyngeal veils.
I love this guy. Yeah. I also, like, had heard of him. Like, in my peripherals, like, oh, maybe, but never actually listened. And then I thank you for this call because I really like it.
And you know what? I got to say, I like it too. I didn't listen to him before. It must have been very noisy. Signals were getting crossed because I heard of this guy, but I think something got messed up to the point where I just thought he was on The Masked Singer or something. Like, I thought, but I didn't think that he was someone serious. I
maybe thought it was like a gimmick of a different singer who was doing like a Diplo impression. Yeah, like, or not really a country singer. Like, I guess if you were like, oh, this guy's doing like a country thing, I'd be like, I want to listen to real country, which is insane. But like, I would steer away from this unless somebody sat me down and was like, you would love this gay masked country singer. And it's like, duh, I would love a gay masked country singer.
So he is... we don't know his real name, but he goes by Orville Peck. That is not his real name. He was profiled by a lot of people like early summer, late spring, like May, June. And he has a few songs. Now there's like, we've reached the point where it's like...
Who's the butter? His name just keeps reminding me of Orville the butter guy you named Orville.
Well, he's a popcorn guy.
He's a popcorn guy. I just love that his name is a mix of tropes. It's like Orville, which sounds like vaguely country, and then Peck, like Gregory Peck.
Gregory Peck,
like,
very Hollywood.
Very Hollywood old, glamour.
Like, I mean, early, like mid-century.
In the comments of his film, I mean, I noticed this immediately, but I said this to Bobby, but somebody wrote in the comments that he is the male reaction back to Lana Del Rey's music, and that is like so spot on.
Absolutely.
He is Lana. He's Lana. He's got an Elvis tone. I think he would say his influences are like George Strait, like old, like glamorous, deep throated.
I think he would say, wow, a slur.
Like low, slow country, you know?
He mentions Willie Nelson in this quote, but I think there's something to like the Willie Nelson, Merle Haggard, that
Merle
sort of
Haggard,
thing to
Merle
it.
Haggard. No, totally Merle Haggard. Yes.
I'm going to play some music here just so you can figure it out. So now that we've listened to some of the music, I just think, even music aside, you can get that he's talented. That's cool. I just love the sort of pop branding that he's doing because he immediately has a very well-defined and unique aesthetic. Like, everything is so well-designed, which is also very Lana. And the gimmick is fun. How often do country stars have gimmicks?
I mean, kind of often. I feel like country stars have
gimmicks. No, but like in terms of like Gaga costumey gimmicks.
Well, it's weird. It's like he's like Joanne, but all the time. And that's kind of what I think is throwing me off about him. Not in a bad way, but just in like a... This is not a gimmick. This is actually like the kind of music that he makes. But it feels like when Cher comes out in a cowboy costume, just because it is glamorous, it is gay. Kind of flashy, it is gay. It's explicitly gay.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what kind of like makes me quickly be like, what? But it's not, but that is my own like bias. That's our own like history with this. So like,
mm-hmm. I love this. I mean, that's how I interpreted it. The quote that you put in here that is extremely Maren Morris shade, where he says, "For me, I think what I find missing in country music today is that it doesn't feel very country anymore. It just feels like people singing pop music with a Texan accent."
Which is Joanne.
Which is Maren Morris.
And he kind of actually, he's going off of Kacey Musgraves, by the way. He basically says that he loves Kacey.
Kacey's
but then he
fully
kind of,
country, though. Compared to Maren, Kacey is like...
No, well, compared to Maren,
Dolly
like,
Parton.
Newer Kacey kind of strays into different vibes. If anything, she strays into like alt country. You know, like she's kind of going like more like rock almost.
Mm-hmm.
But he does, yeah, he's kind of just like, what I'm trying to do is like actually have songs that sound like country music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also the other thing when he talks is it's very clear that he's extremely Canadian.
He's Canadian. He's Canadian as hell.
Which I love. You're like, we can't hide that. It's like a very whopper of a Canadian accent, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you think he'll be in a Old Town Road collaboration?
Oh, I wonder if like, I don't think so. But I wonder if like he is benefiting from that in some way.
I think so. I think music in general is benefiting from Old Town Road.
I agree. There's something about me that thinks like if he got like if unmasked or people knew who he was, it just wouldn't matter and he would continue doing what he's doing with the wig.
Lindsay, he says, "I don't feel like I'm hiding behind a mask at all. It's actually quite the opposite.
Right.
The mask and all of that has allowed me to be a lot more exposed."
That's what I think.
Damn.
I think Deep. If you're going to put a mask on yourself, people are going to want to unmask you. If you had no mask on, there's nothing to do. So I think he's setting himself up for, you know, intrigue and excitement, mm-hmm. and it is a little bit of a gimmick and whatever, like lean into it.
And mostly his music is really good.
Yeah,
so
that's all that
great.
Matters.
Next call.
Hi, who is Damien Hurley? Okay, bye.
Hi.
My favorite kind of call, the one that could just be Googled. It's the most, we say this all the time, but it's the most complimentary call, I feel.
Yeah, because it's like, I don't really want to Google. I just want you guys to talk about it. Like, if I could, I know I can Google.
It feels so sweet to get a call like that. Who
is this?
It's
nice, because like, I also could Google and I will.
Imagine if you had to Google by phone. Like if this were the old, like if you had to go, like call a librarian, you know, where it's like, I need to know.
That's where we're heading.
What's the capital of Montana? I don't have a map. So you call the library and the researcher answers you.
Well, that's what we are. Yeah, that's what we are in the future too. But we have none of the answers. So we also
When the internet is down. Yeah. When the internet is down, then you're going to
For all of eternity.
send a letter to Who Weekly?
Oh, that'd be incredible. Like a P.O. box, but it'd be like the new version of P.O. box, which is just like we have to hire somehow. We get a pigeon or something. We do
give a general area and then we'll be back to the Pony Express. Damien Hurley. Who is Damien Hurley? Quickly, he is Elizabeth Hurley's son. Little less quickly, he's Elizabeth Hurley's son with this guy, Steve Bing. Little less quickly, he's the grandson of a really, 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 really rich person named Peter Bing.
Steve Bing's father.
And Peter Bing is this super rich guy who made his money in medicine. He's like a doctor, and I don't know how he made like hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, but he did. He's extremely rich, and Stephen Bing is also extremely rich, who is the father. He is in the news right now because he just won a lawsuit.
Damien did.
In which he wanted to get a piece of the grandfather's fortune because the grandfather was like, you're not getting any inheritance because you were born out of wedlock because he was born when Steve Bing and Elizabeth Hurley had a fling back
but
in 2002.
Steve Bing is his biological father.
Yes. And at the time, I was looking this up, at the time in 2002, the first ever mention of Damien or one of the first ever mentions of Damien, when they just refer to him as the baby, basically, Elizabeth Hurley gets pregnant, gives birth to Damien, and is like, oh, the father is Steve Bing. Steve Bing is like, absolutely not. You and I were not dating exclusively. I am not the father. I will not pay you child support. And so they had to get a paternity test done, and it was sort of kind of minor celebrity news in the early 2000s. And he ended up losing, because it turns out, yes, he is the father. And then I found out, oh, and then in 2002, they wrote this: under Californian law, the baby would be due a substantial portion of Bing's fortune, and Hurley would be entitled to millions of dollars of child support until the boy was at least 18. So even then, everyone was like, this is going to be a problem in 18 years. Turns out it was, but
which
he
is
won.
Literally this year. The year
yes,
was
which is
this
year.
Year. Yeah.
Yes. So another thing I found interesting was that this guy hasn't been involved. He's apparently like some huge player, and he's not a stranger to paternity tests.
Oh, Steve.
At the
Bing?
Bottom of yes, at the bottom of that story, it said in 2002, Bing is also at the center of another paternity case. He is alleged to be the father of Kira Kerkorian, four, after an affair with her mother, Lisa Bonder. Kirk Kerkorian, an 84-year-old Las Vegas billionaire, is challenging Miss Bonder's claim for $220,000 a month's child maintenance, claiming that Bing is the father. So it was two rich guys being like, nope,
wait, so
I'm not the father. I'm not the father.
Bing sued this other guy for $3.4 billion for invasion of yes! privacy because the other guy's like, why am I paying child support if
because
Steve Bing's the dad?
The billionaire who didn't want to pay child support was stealing DNA out of his stuff. So I guess he hired someone to get DNA out of his dustbin. Yes.
Fuck.
So it got really, really messy.
These need something else to do.
They're just like having sex, denying paternity. That's
it's
all
it's like,
doing.
Do you have sex just so you could deny paternity? Like, is that what the end game is? It can't be.
Is
worth
that your kink? Is your kink denying paternity?
Like, truly, like, does that turn you on? Like, when you have sex, is the point just to get to the court case, you know?
Yeah. I love that he also has a million godfathers. Because it just says, you put here, Hurley's godfathers include Hugh Grant, David Beckham, Elton John, and Dennis Leary.
Yeah.
What are the other ones?
No, include. I don't know. I just love that. And then there's like Wikipedia has three different links to different places that show that like the person they've mentioned is a godfather. But like Elizabeth Hurley, like, does she not know you're only supposed to give one godfather? I mean, I guess you could give like more than one, but this is too many godfathers.
Or did she tell all of those celebrities individually and they thought they were the only one? And then as they were speaking in interviews, it would just come out casually. And
right.
Then the press was like, wait, what?
I mean, the funny thing is to connect Elizabeth Hurley to each one of these actors and think about why they would be the godfather. So it's like she worked with Hugh Grant in, you know, in film. You know, David Beckham's British, and so is she, I guess. Elton John also. Dennis Leary, they were in a movie together. Like,
she
it's
really,
just so strange.
No, she just really loved the, she loved Rescue Me. She just loves Rescue Me.
The other thing I just thought it was funny about Elizabeth Hurley was that her Instagram name is Elizabeth Hurley 1. Can somebody not get Elizabeth Hurley, her name, without the 1 at the end? 1. And her bio is mummy, actress, model, farmer, bikini designer. Farmer, bikini designer.
Is there anything else we have to put in this thing? Anything else we want to talk about Damien Hurley? He was Prince Hansel von Liechtenstein on the show The Royals, which I never watched, but Elizabeth Hurley starred in as the Queen
she
of England.
The Queen of England. Oh, also, like, we didn't even say, like, he's a model and he's also a thing because they look alike and he's got a very androgynous look purposefully. And so he ends up looking a lot like his mom in many,
yes.
many
so
ways.
Usually,
and so
if you Google Damien Hurley, you will get a million articles that are like, Elizabeth Hurley and her look-alike son, Damien, like, share lunch in, like, some neighborhood in London. Like, every story is about how they look alike. Right. It's sort of like Ava Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon.
And the other That's time it. They were in the news together, which I think we talked about on this show, but I honestly kind of forget, was when she posed with him in an Instagram photo and everyone was like, that's so inappropriate, because her, like, boobies were out. And they were like, her boobs are out, like, so close to her son. And it's like, what? And people were mad about... like that she was like too sexy in a photo with her son. Do you remember that?
Yes, but wasn't it like Happy Easter? Oh no, that was Happy Birthday. Didn't Elizabeth Hurley also post like a really raunchy Easter photo and everyone was like, this woman, how dare she?
Yeah, I don't remember. Like, did we talk about it? Maybe it got cut. Like, I honestly don't remember. Please don't tell us. Don't make me feel old. Like, don't make me feel elderly that I like forget when we talked about this. But she was in photos with her son. Like, there's a photo of her with her son and Joan Collins, ? And Elizabeth Hurley is dressed as like a sexy maid. I don't know. Oh, she's in costume. She's in costume. They said, people said, it's not normal for a 50-year-old woman to dress like that with her son. If you think it is, I'd have a word. And she's like actually in costume. And then there's a photo of her like with her cleavage out. Everybody was like, why would you flaunt your cleavage next to your son? And it's like, all this woman does is flaunt her cleavage. Like, what are you talking about?
She's a bikini salesperson. Yes. She's a bikini designer.
Her of job course is she's to flaunt her entire cleavage. Instagram.
Not even Elizabeth Hurley Beach. Elizabeth Hurley 1 is mostly bikini photos.
I really have to say, I love that Hugh Grant is the godfather, and that him and Hugh Grant have like a kind of an uncle nephew relationship.
Well, because it's their sweet. Breakup was such a fucking mess.
I know, it's sweet
because it involved cheating and prostitution and blah blah blah.
Well, Hugh like was rehabilitated. Well, we're talking a lot about rehabilitated men, but Hugh like came around and like kind of tried to figure some things out. It's like nice that they still have a relationship.
Yeah, and know? Also Hugh did the thing. Like, Hugh set a precedent for just powering through a scandal and, like, owning it and not making excuses.
Yeah.
Which is not like, wow, good for Hugh. Like, what an incredible guy. He cheated on his girlfriend. Like, oh, wow, I'm so proud of him. But he did do a thing that a lot of celebrities don't like doing, which is just weathering the storm as opposed to making excuses. And he dealt with it. He went on talk shows and everyone gave him shit. And he just laughed along with it. And then, you know what? He made Love Actually and all was well.
And Bobby forgave him for all eternity. He could murder someone and Bobby would still forgive him. And I was
like, you are my prime minister. Okay. Mothers. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
up.
And
we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
of
that.
Their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories.
Any
the
good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. That helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all
mother.
All mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase. Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, if I can't... Actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour's over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Who's on the cover of the new Lana Del Rey album with Lana Del Rey? Who is that guy?
So when I got this call, I was like, oh yeah, I meant to Google this because I was wondering that too. At first
but
I thought it was
very niche. Like I wouldn't say normally we would play this here. I would be like, this is something that just we would oh, it's a model, yeah, like moving on.
Yeah, you know? I was like, who cares? And why would I even look that up? And then I Googled it and I was like, who was on the cover or whatever. Scrolling through, not many places have anything about it. Then finally I click one person who identifies him, and his name, ladies and gentlemen, is Duke Nicholson, as in the grandson of Jack Nicholson. And I was like, okay, well, now we have to talk about this.
Lana would. Honestly, Lana fucking would. She's a bitch. She would. I love
the
her.
The amount of, like, and daddy 60s cultural references she has in this album. It's called Norman fucking Rockwell. It's in the style of Liechtenstein.
Yeah.
And then she has Jack Nicholson's grandson on the cover. And
it's
Boat Life.
It is the hugest, like, aesthetic fart. I love it so much. It's just like exploded all over the page. Because clearly she's so consumed with this that she can't help herself.
And it's sort of a new aesthetic for her, kind of. It's all sort of new, like this pop arty stuff is sort of new.
She's been very dark Hollywood.
Yes.
This is bright
now
Hollywood.
Oh, right. Now she's bright Hollywood, which began with Lust for Life, but only sort of.
Kind of.
Because Lust for Life, she was just like, I'm going to smile. Remember? That was the whole Lust for Life thing. She was like, I'm smiling now.
Yeah.
And in this one, she's like, oh, I'm camp. I'm fully camp and I'm owning.
I'm on a yacht. I'm talking about wealth, but in like a kind of a laughing way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think she's always been like a Malibu-esque. I mean, I think strains of this have always been around, but now when she goes full force on imagery, she like goes full force. Because like, you know, we talked about this before, but like her video with ASAP Rocky where she's like, you know, she's Jackie O, right? And that's like a tragic Americana story. Mm-hmm. So this is now like her Warhol period.
And I will also say that it sort of seems like all of her other albums seem very West Coast, but this aesthetic is extremely East Coast. Doesn't it look like an East Coast, like, water?
It's a Vampire Weekend, Cape Cod, Kwasa Kwasa version of what Lana is going for. I mean, we could talk about Lana until fucking cows come home.
Yeah, Lana Del Rey them. Her new album is going to be incredible.
But just the like Easter egg of Jack Nicholson's grandson appearing on your album, like without you even pointing towards it, is just
it's
fucking
so
chef's
funny.
Kiss.
It was a great surprise. Did you see the Karen Gant's tweet about?
No.
She was like, because the album comes out on August 30th.
Thank God.
She was like, wow, the August 31st Grammys deadline is really doing a lot of work. I was like, oh, that's smart.
But also it's like good. I'm a little mad at her because having a Lana album for the summer is like the goal. So we need to like get our Lana album in before it becomes cold or else it really doesn't
but
work.
But you know what's
me.
Better than a summer Lana Del Rey album?
A fall Lana Del Rey album?
A late summer Lana Del Rey album.
Yeah. Like me driving down Route 6 on Cape Cod, like listening to the new album. Oh, I can't wait.
Oh my God. Because, when Lust for Life came out, that's what we were listening to when we were on the Cape that week.
Uh-huh.
And then we listened to, remember we all sat up and listened to A Rush of Blood to the Head in full? Wasn't that fun?
Yeah, I was there.
How could you forget?
Yeah. Some Shawnee influence. Real Shawnee influence.
Duke Nicholson, he is a model. He appears on the cover of albums by some of our favorite stars. He's only been in one movie. He was in Us. I was like, who was he in Us? Danny, Tony. I don't remember a Danny or a Tony in that
Danny
movie.
Danny / Tony. Who knows? Anyways, can you give me the family tree of Duke Nicholson?
So the thing about Duke Nicholson, I don't know how super interesting this is, but I guess I didn't realize the many forks in Jack Nicholson's like family tree until
well the only thing I
up.
Know about him and his love life is that he was with Angelica Houston for a million
long
years
time.
But they did not have kids together or get married
no they didn't, they never got married, they never had kids. So I kind of always thought of Jack Nicholson as this just childless bachelor. I completely forgot that he had kids. He has five of them and the woman he was with whenever he had the woman who ended up being this person's father was an actress named Sandra Knight. They were married for a few years. They had two kids. One of them was Jennifer Nicholson. She was born, I believe, in the mid-60s. She is Duke's mother. This isn't even interesting, is it?
No, it's interesting. And I'm looking a little bit too. What's interesting too is that Duke's actual last name is Norfleet. It's Duke Norfleet. He's going by Duke Nicholson for the fun of it.
Okay. Okay.
Because his father is named Mark Norfleet. He has a brother named Sean Norfleet. And
so he's like, no, I'm reclaiming my Nicholson.
Yeah. And Mark Norfleet's kind of like a vague actor. Like, everyone's kind of like a vague actor in this family, mm-hmm. if you notice. Like, the lineage from Jack Nicholson is vague actors, right?
Jack's daughter, who is Duke's mother, tried to be an actor, but didn't work out. So she was like, I want to go into interior design and fashion design. So after she graduated from college, she like tried her hand at interior decorating. There was some line in her, like a profile of her that I read, where it's like, she completely redecorated Jack Nicholson's house, like in Malibu after she did some, but that may have been the end of it. Then she was like, no, I want to get into fashion. She did fashion for a little bit. Then she like stopped and had a family. Then after that was all sort of when she had grown up a little bit more, she got back into fashion. Mm-hmm. She had a store in Venice for a little bit, as in Venice Beach, not Italy. It has since shut down. But
okay, now it's boring.
How perfect is it that his name is Duke Nicholson?
I also was just like, I kept searching like, and Anna Sophia Robb kept coming up, but that's because Anna Sophia Robb and Lorraine Nicholson were in a movie together called Soul Surfer. I was like, is she also related to Jack Nicholson? No.
Is Soul Surfer together. The one about the surfer who had her like foot chopped off?
I think so.
Hand chopped off? Appendage chopped off.
No, because it came out in 2011. That's not as old of a story, is it? Bethany Hamilton, you're right. Oh my God, you're right. It's about the Bethany Hamilton.
Yeah, because the poster is the surfboard with the bite in it.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time. I was just calling because is Maggie Gyllenhaal them with who tendencies? I need to know, just also because Bobby said that's who he'd slide into her DMs. And I just had a funny story about one time on New Year's Eve. We were in Sun Valley, Idaho, and my friends forgot to buy tickets to a New Year's party, so I pretended to be Maggie Gyllenhaal's assistant and said she was flying in, and they comped all five of my friends free tickets just because Maggie Gyllenhaal was coming, so please discuss, but that works every time. If you ever need a reservation, just say that Maggie Gyllenhaal's joining, and they'll get excited because maybe Jake will come, but when Maggie doesn't show up, like, she's not that exciting, so they just won't care, and then you get the reservation. Crunch, crunch.
Wait, that is so fucking
I'm obsessed with this
genius.
Call. It's incredible.
I'm going to do that.
I was wondering, the reason I wanted to play it is, Lindsay, can you think of like another celebrity on that specific Maggie Gyllenhaal level that would work? As in like, I'm here with my client, I'm here for my boss, I'm ex's assistant.
How about like Solange? Like, you think Beyonce might show up?
Oh, Solange. Solange, people wouldn't know. You couldn't, Solange wouldn't surprise you. Solange would make preparations in advance, I think, right?
I don't know. How about, are you thinking of celebrities who've like related to or married to famous or people that they would like take a risk letting you in?
Related to, married to, associated with.
How about Oprah's friend Gail.
Oh, I'm Gail, because I feel like Gail's pretty low key. I feel like Gail wouldn't cause a fuss.
Oh, like, I'm actually with Gail King. Yeah, she might be coming by. But if she doesn't come by, like, it's like, okay, whatever.
Oh my God, that's good. Gail King's good, but I think Maggie Gyllenhaal might just be the winner.
I mean, it is the point he makes that if she doesn't come, no one notices or cares is the point. The point here.
Yes,
it's like,
that is the point.
And then later on, some PR person's like, wasn't Maggie Gyllenhaal supposed to come? And everyone's like, what? Who? Whatever.
I didn't see Jake. It's fine. We all got to start doing this Maggie Gyllenhaal move.
No, we
it's
can't.
Really
because
good.
Then they'll be on to, we can't all do it. Page Six is like, a bunch of people have been claiming to be Maggie Gyllenhaal's assistants.
All over the country. We got listeners all over the country. They're all going to do it. We're going to do it with the Maggie Gyllenhaal move in Des Moines, the Maggie Gyllenhaal move in Austin, the Maggie Gyllenhaal move in Minneapolis.
It's a movement.
Okay. The Maggie Gyllenhaal movement.
Maggie Gyllenhaal, who are them?
Maggie Gyllenhaal, who are them? Oh.
Isn't that what this was about? Oh, no, this was a question. Oh, well, just a question.
We could answer it. Maggie Gyllenhaal, who are them?
Them? Who?
I think them.
Them?
I think them mostly because of the name.
I think this is a thing where the personal bias is going to really overturn our
absolutely
like,
a them like, to me.
Well, sure, but I think even if you recognize that it's you who says it's a them, that you still there's still like a bias. There's still a bias. It's hard to like break away from that. I do think the last name is a lot. And I do think that because she's married to Sarsgaard, it helps.
And even Sarsgaard. But Sarsgaard, I would say, is lower on the totem pole than
he
Maggie
is,
Gyllenhaal.
But it still bumps up Maggie.
Combined, their forces are stronger.
Also, name another famous Maggie that's not Maggie Smith. We don't have a lot of them. Maggie, I don't know why I'm bringing up this. I never bring up this point. But
name another famous Maggie. Maggie. That's it. Maggie Smith. Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Maggie
that's
from it. The Simpsons.
That's true.
Just saying.
Can't forget the classic film, Sherry Baby. I'm kidding. And with that, we are done. Thank you for listening. As always, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly.
The Patreons are getting a very special movie bonus track episode. So if you are interested in hearing that, it's going to be for our favorite film, You've Got Mail. So if you're interested in hearing that, go subscribe.
Yeah, go subscribe. And what else? What else? What else? Happy August. What else is there to say?
Nothing
is there
anything else? There any I other? Cannot wait to turn my air conditioner back on. I'm loving it.
Ooh, it's hot in here.
It's
getting hot.
Hot
in here.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I want to be famous.
Hey guys, Ron Lynn calling from the LA Times where I cover earthquakes, and one of my new bosses, Shawnee Hilton, thought I should weigh in on the whole, like, what earthquakes are thems. And I heard the person who was all like, hey, don't forget about the New Madrid fault system in St. Louis around that area, and come on, I mean, the only fault out there that's a them fault is the San Andreas. I was just in South Africa earlier this month, and a person started randomly talking about the San Andreas. And so if people on different continents, if the one fault they can think of is the San Andreas, that's a them fault. I mean, and think about it, too. Like, the San Andreas is probably the one that's the most famous around the world. It's close to two major cities, San Francisco and L.A., basically destroyed San Francisco in 1906. And that destruction helped fuel the growth of L.A. It's a long fault. It's 800 miles. And that's what makes it so dangerous and capable of going in a magnitude 8 event. And it's also getting stressed so much faster than California, than any other California faults, that there's decent odds of Southern California getting hit by a big quake in our lifetime. So don't second guess yourself, guys. There's always candidates for a new WHO fault, though. Like one of you said, if the Cascadia fault goes off the coast of Washington and Oregon in a magnitude 9 event, the nightmare tsunami will make that a Huey fault.